Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Ches. So we are holding on Kuf Chav Zayin with Beis at the two dots, which are 11 lines from the bottom. We go back to the Mishnah Nishchata Behema Bechulu. We spoke about this dangling limb on the animal, and then the animal experienced Shechita. Mishnah says the Shechita spears this entity of becoming Eber Min HaChai. It's not Eber Min HaChai that was detached from a live being during its lifetime. It was technically attached. In fact, when the animal experienced Shechita, that Shechita covers this entity as well. So this entity benefits from the Shechita, and it will be spared from becoming Eber Min HaChai. Rather, it's considered like food. With the Rabbanon, we don't eat it. It's too close to the real thing, but it's considered like food, and it can become tummy. And the question is, does it require hechsher, which is the standard procedure, standard preparatory step that food must experience before it becomes tummy, come into contact with the seven primary liquids, water, wine, etc. So what happens to this piece of flesh, this limb, after the shechita of the animal? Mishnah says, no separate hechsher is required for this piece, because hukshiru b'domeo, says the Mishnah on the top line of the Yamin here. Tivir Rav Meir. Well, the blood of the Shechita applies hechsher to the animal at large, and likewise to this piece. Rav Shimon Amir lo hukshiru. No. The hechsher of the rest of the animal did not benefit this limb, and it needs its own independent hechsher to open the door for its own tumor. Now, what's the machlekes about? We're going to have no less than six ways to understand the machlekes. But Maikamifli, what's the machlekes about? Again, Tanakama, Rav Meir says, hechsher of the animal applies to this entity as well. Rav Shimon says it doesn't. What's the machlekes? Maikamifli. I'm a rabba. The question is like this. Behema nasis yad le'ever kamifli. Can the behema constitute a yad, a handle, an extension for this limb? So just like yad can serve as a conduit to bring tumah in and out, likewise, it can bring hechsher in and out. So even though the blood didn't actually touch the aver, but the hechsher that occurs with the behema transfers to the aver as well, as per the concept of yad. The aver serves as a conduit to bring hechsher into the aver. The thing is that the aver is a secondary element here. He's a tafel. He's the less significant element of the two things. So that's the question. Can a behemoth serve as a yad for something which is insignificant relative to the behemoth? Can the ikar be a yad for a tafel? That's the question. That's the machlekes. Mar Savar, Rav Shimon says, no way. Ein behemoth nasis yad le'ever. The behemoth which is primary cannot serve as an accessory for this little aver, and therefore it does not have hechsher. Umar Savar, Meir disagrees. He says, yep, behemoth nasis yad le'ever. Behemoth can serve as a conduit to bring the hechsher over to the aver. That's one pshat. Abai Yomar, pshat number two. These two things are still technically connected. It's hanging by a strand. So if you pick up the behemoth, the flesh comes along with it. It's somewhat connected, but if you would try to move the behemoth by picking up the flesh, it would totally detach. In a situation where if you would pick up the smaller of the two, the bigger, larger section would not come along, would just detach. Is that considered connected or not? It's a one-way connection, so to speak. So that's the machlekes. Mar Savar. Ramir says it's still one and the same entity. They're connected somewhat, and the hechsher spreads throughout. Mar Savar. Even though when he lifts the small one, the big piece just detaches, he's still considered connected because as long as he comes along with the big piece. Umar Savar, Rav Shimon says, no, he's not considered one and the same, in which case the hechsher on the behemoth does not impact the limb. And this explanation was adopted by Rabbi Yochanan as well. But Rabbi Yochanan Savar, he also had this approach to the machlekes. The machlekes is regarding this very point. How do I know? The Rabbi Yechanan Rami. Rabbi Yechanan had a contradiction. He presented an apparent stira between our Rameir who says that even though the large piece does not come along with the small piece, it's still considered connected, versus a different Rav Meir, where he seems to say that it is not connected. Rami de Rav Meir, ad Rav Meir, mi amar Rav Meir, is that so that Rav Meir holds? It's one and the same, it's connected, it's considered one entity. Eiches bekata. Ve'ein godol eili imoy harayu kamay, it's still considered connected. Raminu, here comes a kasha. From a Mishnah, from a Brisa, Maseches Uktzin. Eichel shenifras. Say a loaf of bread, which is truma. And it was sliced, for the most part. It's sliced like we do by Hamaitzi, right? During the weekday, we slice it, almost to the bottom. So it's still somewhat connected. Shenifras, it was sliced, but Me'urah B'Mikta is still somewhat connected. Now, a fellow who's a Tful Yom, he immersed in Mikvah, but he's still waiting for the completion of that purification process, waiting for the sunset. He's mostly tired, but he still has, you know, elements of Tumah. If he comes into contact with Truma, it becomes Pasul. So what happens if he touches one side of the split loaf? Rav Meir Omer, we turn to the next page. Rav Meir Omer. Imayich is bekatan. V'gadla oyli imay? If, here's the test. If when you lift the smaller of the two pieces, the other one comes along, v'gadla oyli imay, it's one and the same entity. Hariyu kamayu. And therefore, when the Tfulyam touches one side, the whole thing becomes effective. But otherwise, if it doesn't come along with the small piece, the two separate entities, one is unaffected by the other. This is a direct contradiction to our Mishnah, where he seems to say that even though the animal will not get dragged along with the limb, regarding Hechsher, it's all one and the same. We're stuck. Apparently, Rav Meir changed his opinion. Says the Gemara. So bottom line, you see clearly Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the discussion now in Mishnah revolves around this very question, as we had proposed. Ask the Gemara holder, what's the problem? You're comparing Hechsher to Tful Yom. Umay Kushi, what's the Kash? Dilma Shanigli Rabbi Meir. Maybe Rabbi Meir would draw a distinction between the two things, being Tful Yom L'Shar Tumos. You know, Tful Yom is not such a severe, intense Tumah. So maybe there is room to be lenient, that his tumah doesn't spread over to the other side in this type of situation, but otherwise, regarding other matters, other tumah, so what? There goes our contradiction. No, but Tanya, we have Rebbe, who explains clearly, there's no difference. Rebbe, I mean, echad tvulyayim, echad shar tumah, he said, according to Rebbe Meir, there's no difference between this tumah and that tumah. So back to the question. Well, but then the Rebbe l'shanah, maybe Rebbe Meir's understanding, maybe Rebbe's understanding of Rav Meir was in fact that there's no difference, but our Tana of our Mishnah held there is a difference. Well, Rav Meir is shining light. According to our Tana's understanding of Rav Meir, there will be a room to differentiate between Tful Yom, which is lenient, versus other concepts of other Tumah and other matters of Hechsher, where it's different. Rabbi Yashios, he says, you're right. Hachi am Rabbi Yechanan. So exactly, Rabbi Yechanan meant to say, L'divir Rabbi, Mechlevas HaShita, according to Rabbi's understanding of Rav Meir's Shita, then in fact, there is no room to differentiate between this matter and other matters. So now we're stuck with a contradiction between our Mishnah, where he says that it's still connected, and the other Mishnah, where he says it's not connected. You have to say there was a change of position. Okay, back to our Mishnah, where the animal experienced Hechsher. The question is, does that Hechsher benefit the limb as well? Here comes a third explanation in the Machlokes. Rav Meir says it does have Hechsher, Rav Shimon says it doesn't, Rav Amar. V'yesh yad l'tumah, we know that yad serves by tumah, can serve as a conductor, a conduit to bring in tumah, to bring out tumah from the other item. What about for hechsher purposes? Does yad apply to hechsher? Ve'en yad hechsher kamiflagi. Perhaps only for tumah is there a concept of yad, but not regarding hechsher. That is what the machlekes is about. It's a conceptual machlekes. In general, is there a concept of yad bringing in hechsher from one side to the other? Mar savar, yes. Only for tumah, not for hechsher. Marsav yesh yad l'tumah v'inad l'hechsher. That's Reb Shimon's opinion. So despite the hechsher that applied to the animal, there's no hechsher on the limb, because yad does not serve for hechsher. Omar Savar, Tanakam says, yes. Yesh yad l'tumah v'inad l'hechsher. Just like yad serves in a tumah capacity, also for hechsher. Hence, the limb had hechsher. Fourth pshat, Rapapa Amar. You see, Rashi explains, for this limb to be reclassified as food, you have to have intent. I'm going to feed it to the guy. Now, it happened out of order. First, the shechita happened, which makes hechsher, and then he turned it into food. Can it work that way? Can it work out of sequence? Or perhaps it has to follow a very strict regimen. First, it has to be food, and then and complete the food with hechsher. Because the hechsher is sort of a completion process on food. But here it happened in the reverse, just the opposite. First it had hechsher, and then he turned it into food. Does that work? That's the machlokes. Rav Papa Amar behechsher, in a case where hechsher occurred kaidem prior to machshava, which turned into food, kamiflagi, that's the point of machlokes. Does it work or not? The sanya. As we found this discussion elsewhere, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda quotes Rav Akiva. Kachayor Rav Akiva shein, Rav Akiva will teach us. Chelev, shchuta, bakfarim, tzarech, machshava. Fats of a shechted animal. Out in the villages where they have enough ample supply of meat, they don't need these fat. They don't typically eat fat. Tzorech machshava, you have to designate it as food in order for it to attain food status. But vein tzorech hechsher, skip the hechsher. Why? Shekvar huchsha b'shchita, because the shchita process already accomplished hechsher, despite having occurred prior to rendering it as food. And that was my question to Rabbi Kiva. How? Amarti lefanav. So I presented to him the matan rabbeinu. Rabbi, haven't you taught us? Ocean, these greenery, these vegetables, these bitter shalakton, which had been picked. Typically, it's not eaten by a human. V'idichan l'behema. So he picked them, rinsed them off for animal feed. Animal feed doesn't have food status yet. But then, he diverted it as human food. V'nimlach alein l'adam. He had a change of heart, decided I'm going to feed it to another. So now it becomes food. What about hechsher? It already had the wetness, but that happened prior to becoming food. Tzrichos hechsher sheni. You taught us that you need another hechsher. First you need food, and then the hechsher can apply. So the same should be with the fat. Although it had the shechita, which typically makes hechsher, but that was prior to becoming food. V'chazer rekiva. Rekiva changes his mind. L'yashenik Rabbi Yehuda. And he reverted to Rabbi Yehuda's position. It has to go in order. First become food and then have hechsher. So this very discussion is the point of contention in our Mishnah. Initially, Rabbi Kiva says, either way, right? And then he changed his mind. It has to follow a very specific sequence. Mar Savala Kamikara, Tramir, held like the initial position of Rabbi Kiva, even backwards were. So in our case, there was Shechita, which makes hechsher. And later on, he designated it as food, you know, that limb. Umar Sabal Khazor, Shimon held like the final version of Rabbi Kiva. It has to be done in sequence, which in this case it wasn't, because he only designated this dangling limb after the hechsher. Rav Acha by the Ravika Omar, here comes pshat number 5 in Machlekes. So the blood during the Shechita splattered on this Aver, but it was wiped away between one Simon and the other while he was doing the Shechita. Through the two tubes, between one and the other, the blood was wiped off this aver. So basically, the blood was not present at the conclusion of the shechita process. Now, we know that only blood of shechita has the ability to be machshir, not just wound blood. It's not called dam chalalim. So here, there was blood, but it wasn't yet technically a full shechita at that point. How do we classify that blood? That's the kamifli, that's the machlekes. Mar Savar, Rameir says, what do you mean? Of course it's shechita blood. Shechita starts at the beginning of the cutting process. Marasav Yeshna Shechita. The Shechita process applies mitchil v'atzayif from the beginning till the end. It's a continuous Shechita process. V'hai, and this blood that splattered during that process, dam Shechita, who is considered dam Shechita and can be machshir that ever. Umarasav, Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, Einu l'shechita l'vatzayif. Shechita only happens at the conclusion of the end. Right? V'hai dam Maku, and this blood that splattered during the process and was not present at the end to be stamped as dam shechita is merely blood from a wound. Doesn't have the ability to be machshir. Pshat number 6. Rav Ashi yama b'shechita machshir is v'l'dam k'mifliki. He says, look, of course, the concept of yad serving as a conduit works for hechsher as it was for, as it does for shechita as well, as it does for tumah, right? So the concept of yad could theoretically be used, be employed to bring over the hechsher to the aver. Or we can say it's one and the same, right? It's still connected, because even though the animal doesn't come along with it, but it's still, as long as the aver comes along with the animal, etc., etc. That's not the issue. Rather, what is the issue? There was blood from the shechita on this, that landed on this aver. Rameir says, yeah, so the blood of the shechita, that's the machshir. So we're good. Reb Shimon says, no. It's not the blood of the shechita that makes the hechsher. It's the shechita experience. It's the transformative experience of shechita which turns a live animal into food material. It's such a profound, transformative experience that the food is now considered completed without any need for any additional steps like hechsher, which is typically required to complete the food making process. It's such a food item. It doesn't need hechsher anymore. It's totally available for tumah. Rashi says a lashon. Since the shechita renders it food regarding permissibility, it turns a live animal, which is forbidden, into permissible food. It renders it fully food regarding tumah as well, which doesn't require any hechsher. That's good for the rest of the animal, but the limb, which Rashi says it's still aser for us to eat. Apparently, the Rabbanon. In any case, we don't eat it. So the shechita experience cannot really make it into food. Rather, if you want to designate it for a goy and feed it to him and turn it into food, fine. But then you need a new hechsher, a proper hechsher, by way of contact with liquid. So the shechita, which typically works in lieu of hechsher in this case, was not permitting it for consumption, will not work in that capacity. You need a proper hechsher to make it open for tumah. Okay, so back to the Mishnah, we have a aver dangling off an animal, which now experienced shechita. Does the aver need hechsher for it to be mekabel tumah? Ramir says, it's good to go. Rabbi Shimon says, it needs a new hechsher. My six ways to explain the machlekes. Okay, one was whether the behemoth can serve as a yad. The other question was whether the two elements are considered connected. The other pshat was, can the hechsher work out of order? The other pshat is, the blood that splattered during the shechita, does it qualify as dam shechita? And the next pshat was regarding the actual shechita experience. Whether Shimon, in this case, it can't really serve as a machshir. There's another pshat, which was that maybe yad only works for tumah and not for hechsher. Continues the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi, here comes an interesting question. Let's backtrack a minute to the Mishnah. We have this dangling entity on this live animal, and the animal's still alive. Now the aver, the dangling entity, became wet, so it's hechsher, no question there. And now tumah arrives. But the tumah only touched the animal, the live animal, which is typically immune to tumah. Live being doesn't become tumah except for Yisrael, right? A yid, the live yid, but otherwise, a goy, an animal, there's no tumah. But the aver, which has been designated as food, is considered food, but it's on this live entity. And the tumah only made contact with the live entity, with the rest of the animal, which is immune to tumah. So it in itself is not going to be tumah, but can it serve as a yad, as a conduit, to bring the tumah over to the aver? On the one hand, you would say, yeah, why not? On the other hand, you can argue and say, well, an animal is immune to tumah. He doesn't relate to tumah. The tumah can't even travel through him, can't use him as a conduit. Interesting shayla. Boy, Rabbi, behemah, the live animal, bichaya, during its lifetime, maoshati os yad le'aver, can it serve as a yad, as a conduit to import tumah to the aver? Dangling from it, take it, we leave it unresolved. There comes a series of similar questions regarding one entity serving as a conduit for the other. Amar Abai, Hari Amar. We know the halacha is kishus. So the squash, a nut of atzitz, which was planted in this flower pot without any holes, so it's completely detached from the ground, and can be mekabel tumah, right? Something growing in the ground cannot be mekabel tumah, but this one could, because it's in a closed flower. Big deal. Riyatzis, chutzla atzitz. Okay, it's growing, it's steiging, it's prospering, it's actually growing beyond the perimeter of the otzitz. Tahira. So the part that's sticking out, which is now drawing sustenance from the environment, from the ground around, is considered like growing off the ground, and it's immune to tumah. And likewise, everything within it as well. The whole thing is now considered connected to the ground. Oh, Rav Shimon, why? It should be a split entity. What basis do we have to just spare the whole thing of tumah? I understand the part that's sticking out. Ella, rather, hatame b'tumah. So the part that's inside has tumah. Vatar b'tarasa. And the part sticking out, okay, has tahara. So now we have a split entity once again. And the question is, can the external part, the Torah part, serve as a yad to bring tumah into the internal area? One side yad for the other. Take it with your own. Resolved. Another question. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Amru, we know how mishdach l'chatzi d'las asra. A person bows, serves as an idol. Considers the chatzi d'las to be zavoy d'sara. So it's a pumpkin. Only half of it, the right half, he forbade. Right? Asra makes it asra. To the point where Rashi says that it becomes asur b'hano, can't have any benefit from it. It's like a way to Zorah. And Rashi brings the shita of Rav Shimon is that only something which you can have benefit from has a food status. But something which is asur b'hano, you can't eat it or even feed it to a goy, loses its food status. So now you have a split pumpkin. On one side you have food, on the other side you have non-food. Same question, can one serve as a conduit to the other? But Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we turn to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we turn to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, to take Omer Papa, another question, Rabbi Amru. We have Halacha Yichor Shateina, a branch of a fig tree, Shenivshach, which was mostly detached, Umurib Klipasa, but still hanging by a hair, by its peel, by its bark. So what happens to the fruit on that branch? Rabbi the Matayr, he says, well, the branch is still technically connected. Connected is free of tumah. V'chacham Imrim, well, it depends. Im Yachel Lichyos, if you can theoretically reattach it and it can reconnect, then yeah, I consider it connected to the ground and the fruit is toyer from any tumah, because as you explained, something growing in the ground is not going to become tumah. Vim Labar, otherwise, it's considered detached tumah and the fruit is susceptible to tumah. Now, Boy Rapap, I have a question, said Rapap. Let's say, off that branch, breaks off another branch. Okay, so we have 1, 2, and 3. We have the actual tree. Branch number 1 can still reconnect. Roy lichyos, so anything on it is still considered tar and connected. From that branch comes number 3. Which is halachically severed. It can't reconnect to number 2. So number 2 is tahar, still attached to the ground. Number 3 is detached. Can number 2 serve as a conduit for number 3? Mao, she asked Yad L'chaver, take leader unresolved. Here comes one final question. Amar Abzeira. This is regarding a house with a nega. Amar Abzeira. Hari Amar, we know, Evan Shabazabis. So you have two neighbors and there's a large stone in the corner, meaning between the two houses. One side is facing this house. The other side is facing the other room. So what happens to this jumbo stone? So Reuven, who discovered an egg on his side of the stone, so he has to remove that stone. This is Rashi says after the first week. He locked up the house. A week later, it's still there. He's got to slide out that stone. How much of it? Only his side or even the neighbor's side? That's cool. That's to remove the entire stone. Rashi says, well, the Pasuk speaks about an Evan, the way it is, regardless of size, regardless of how far, how deep it goes. So his neighbor will lose that stone from his wall. Chaylet is cool, but let's say it gets more intense. The Nega stubbornly, you know, sticks around and comes back, and now we have to demolish the house. Shunaitis, when he demolishes, it's limited to his side. Noitit is Shaloi. He only has to break off his side. And he leaves over the other side of the stone on the other side. So basically, this stone now has a split status, right? One side is tummy, one is not. But Reb Zera, same question. We know the side that's tummy is very tummy. It's tummy, even oil, anything in the same roof. So does that tumma travel through the other side? to transport tuma over to the friend's house. Okay, so we have a series of cases of split entities. The question is, can the Torah entity serve as a yan for the other side? Teiku, just as in the previous questions, in this question as well, we leave a teiku unresolved. And by the way, you know, the Rebbe in Chedi used to say teiku is an acronym. Taf Yud Kafav. Tishbi, right? Al Yoha Tishbi, Al Yoha Navi, when he comes, Yitarets, Kushyos, Viboyes, he'll resolve all our questions, our uncertainties. But later on, it was noted that teiku is really an Aramaic word. Teiku means to, like, to stand. Teiku beduchte, to let it stand. That's what it means, let it stand. Until further clarification. Continues the Gemara, Mesa HaBehema. Now we get to the third scenario where the Behema actually died with this dangling arm. So the Mishnah concludes that, in fact, this Eivar HaMedoldo's dangling entity, it's not considered as though he died, that it experienced the death experience with the Behema together. Because, as explained, the behema, as it enters the dying process, so to speak, dying experience, it weakens and weakens progressively as it advances into that experience. Now, this dangling limb, which has already been almost completely detached, so its state of life, so to speak, has been so diminished to the point that as soon as the animal's life force starts going down, starts decreasing, that affects a full and complete detachment and a termination of that minuscule life connection, so to speak, between the dangling limb and the animal. So ultimately, the Eber is not considered to have actually experienced Misa, death of the animal. Rather, it's considered as though it shed it, like the animal shed this aver a moment before the animal experienced Misa. Ultimately, the aver is now aver menachai. It's treated like a limb of a live animal, as though it was removed during its lifetime, not part of a nevela, part of a dead animal. So the Mishnah makes a point of saying that this dangling limb is now not considered Eiver Nevela, part of a dead animal. Rather, it's Eiver Menachai. Now you'll ask, what's the difference? Either way, it gives off Tumah. Pretty much an equal Tumah. Eiver Menachai, as well as Eiver Menachai Nevela, give off Tumah through Maga, through Masa. So what's the difference? Meisa Behema asked the Gemara, Mayikos, what is the difference between Bain, whether you treat it like Eiver Menachai, which gives off Tumma, or you treat it like Eiver Shalom Nevela, which gives off Tumma? Says the Gemara, there's one difference. You see, unlike a Nevela, where even a piece of meat, Kazayas of the Basar Nevela is Matami, by Eiver Menachai it's not so. Only a full Eiver entity, which is comprised of bones, sinews, we'll see later what exactly is required to make it an Eiver, but ultimately it has to be an Eiver. It has to be a limb, which is like a microcosm of the animal, like a mini animal. But just flesh, clump of basar off a live animal, does not have tumma. It's forbidden, you can't eat it, but doesn't have tumma. Likewise, a piece of flesh off this aver doesn't even have tumma. So that's the difference. You treat it like an aver from nevela, the whole thing is tummy. Whether in its aver form, in its bundle form, or even the basar itself, as opposed to aver nachai, which is only metame as a aver. Says the Gemara Ikebenai, the difference between the two is basar ha-perish v'menu. The basar which is clipped off from it, me'evar behema. The ilu basar ha-perish me'evar nachai, because a piece of flesh off the evar nachai has no tumma limitam. But that chunk of flesh detached from the evar nevela, me'evar menanevela, is metami. Okay, speaking about Eiver Menachai being Metami, how do we know? Where's the source for that? Eiver Menachai, the Metami, how do we even know there's Tumah on Eiver Menachai? Micro, where's the Pasuk? Amar Vida Mara, V'chiyamis Mena Behema, the animal dies, it's an Avela, gives off Tumah, and we add another element, Min HaBehema. Not only the full animal, even part of the animal, even a limb of the animal. Eiver Menachai has Tumah, just like an Avela. Ask the Gemara, but that Pasuk is needed for something else. I mean, Baidli, look at the Idach. It's needed for the other halacha from the same person. The Amar Rabbi Amarav. Some say it was Nabraisim, Asisatana. What do we learn from Mina Behema? Sometimes you can have an animal which appears to have Nevela elements to it, but it's really Tahar. Miktas Behema Matama. Sometimes a Behema which dies has Tumah, but sometimes not. Miktas Behema Eina Matama. Meaning, what are you talking about? You have an animal which had a trefa status, had a severe critical injury, and then you shechted it. This is very similar to Nevela. It was half dead to begin with. But since you shechted it, you speared it from becoming a Nevela. It has no tumor. And that's learned from Mina Behema. Only at times, sometimes, it has tumor. And sometimes, something which is reminiscent of an avela does not have tumah. An animal which was a treifa and had shechita done to it. So, bottom line, it's needed for that pasuk, for that drasha. It's unavailable to teach us tumas eiver menachai. Answer, imkein, if it's only for that, lichta v'rachmona, the pasuk would say, mi behema. Some behema has an avela, some doesn't. Why does it say, min ha-behema, shom natarti, to teach us both points. To exclude a treifa that had shechita from becoming tamei. On the other hand, not only is a full animal considered an avela if it dies, even part of the animal, an eiver taken from a chai, also has tumah. If so, ihachi, if you're including even parts, afilu basar nami, what about a piece of flesh as well? Which a bit earlier we had excluded from the tumah of eiver nachai. How do we know? It's part of an animal. Afilu basar nami. No, you can't suggest that. The side you have a braisa, which establishes the rules and the parameters, all constitutes eiver menachai. The side yochel yehi basar aperish menachai tamei. Perhaps even a chunk of flesh off the animal is tamei tamaloymar b'chiyomas mena behema, which is the pasuk of eiver menachai, which relates to misa. That's the defining criterion of what constitutes eiver menachai. Ma misa she'ena oisa chalipin. What defines misa? Irreparable, irreversible. It can't regrow. It's dead, right? Likewise, af kol she'eino yo'ose chalipin. Likewise, only something which has no ability to regrow, to regenerate, has this tumah of eiver menachai, as opposed to a piece of flesh, which can regrow and recover. But an eiver, missing limb, does not regrow. Hence, we know that only an eiver, a full limb, as small as it is, it could be even a finger, has tumas eiver menachai, but not basar. That is the shita of Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Some add Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Omer, it goes a step further. He says that we compare the detached section to the behemoth himself. After all, that's how the pasuk describes it, mina behema. So it has to be similar in its features, in its content, to a behema. Rabbi Kiva Omer, behema, we compare it to a behema. Ma behema, what quantifies a behema? What defines a behema? Gidu ba'atzamas, sinews, bones, af kol gidu ba'atzamas. Likewise, only a detached portion, which is comprised of gidu ba'atzamas, which has sinews and bones, qualifies as eiver menachai. Regarding the tumah of eiver menachai, Rebbe takes it a step further. It must have three elements that are found in a behema. Rebbe Omer behema, we compare it to behema. Ma behema bas or gid matzamis, just like the full animal is comprised of flesh, sinews, and bones. Likewise, the eiver menachai, which is like a mini animal, needs to have those three elements to qualify. Af kol bas or gid matzamis. Who have three shittas? Only something which does not regenerate. only with Gidim Batsamas, or according to Rebbe, Basar v'Gidim Batsamas. They sound pretty similar. My Ika, is there any difference? Halachic difference. Bein Rebbe, the Rebbe Kiva, between Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva. Yep. Ika b'nai Akuva. Akuva is the lowest section of the leg of the animal, which has bone, but it has sinew, so it qualifies according to Rabbi Akiva, but it's lacking flesh. Doesn't qualify according to Rebbe. Next, Bein Rebbe Kiva, the Risa Glili, between Rebbe Kiva and Risa Glili, any difference there? Ma'ika b'nayu? So the Gemara, yep, there is a difference. Amra Papa, Ika b'nayu, Amra Papa, Kulya v'niv sfasayim, the kidney or the lips, which will not regrow once detached, so it qualifies according to Rebbe Glili, but it's lacking Gidim Batsamas. It doesn't qualify according to Rabbi Yossi. Ika b'nayu. Interestingly, the same exact discussion with the same exact opinions are presented at the next price regarding an Eva Menachayfim Asheres from a creature. What does it require to qualify? The Chalipin regenerating condition? Gidim Vatsamais? What's going on? And then more later we'll ask, what's the point of repeating it if it's the same exact principle? And then we'll explain why we need it discussed in both contexts. Tanya Mechagab Shruatzim, we have the same discussion by the Shruatzim, Kai Gavna, similar discussion. Yochel Basar Aperish Min HaShruatzim, you tell me, what about a piece of flesh detaching from a live creature? Is that Tami as well? Tami Lever, no, B'mayisam. When they die. So we learn from here that the Eber Min HaChai has Tumo if it is something which can be described as misa, comparable to misa. Ma misa she'ino isa chalipin, just like death cannot be reversed. Af kol she'ino isa chalipin, likewise, this detached element from a sheret, which has tumah, has to be something which cannot regrow and regenerate. She'ino isa chalipin. That is, that's his opinion, as before. Rabbi Kiva Omer, we compare it to the sheretz, ma sheretz gidim batzomis, av kol gidim batzomis, just like the sheretz is comprised of gidim batzomis, likewise this detached element, which has tumah, needs to have those elements as well, Rabbi Omer, all three, sheretz, we compare it to the actual sheretz, ma sheretz basar, v'gidim batzomis, just like the sheretz is comprised of three elements, flesh, bones, and sinews, av kol basar, v'gidim batzomis, likewise, only one that has those three elements will have a tumah of eiver, menachai, of a sheretz. Once again, what will be the difference between the opinions? Bein Rebbe, who says we need three elements, the Rekiva, who says only two, Ika b'nayu, the difference is Akuva, the bottom section of the leg, which only has two out of three. Bein Rekiva, Rishak Glili, between Rishak Glili and Rekiva, what's the difference? Ma'ika b'nayu, Mar Papa. Once again, the Kulya, the kidney, V'sasayim, and the lips, Ika b'nayu, which cannot recover, but all it has is flesh. According to Rishak Glili, it counts, but not so according to Rekiva. Now, why do we need an exact replication of the same discussion by Behema and then by Sheretz, Utsricha? They're both needed. You cannot learn one from the other. Why? Di Ashmin and Behema. Had we only discussed this concept by a Behema, that unless the Aver qualifies with the proper criteria, it will have Tumah, otherwise not. I would say, you know why? Just a plain piece of flesh, a chunk of basar off the live animal, is not going to give off tumah. Because a behema, in a way, has a disadvantage vis-a-vis a sheretz, which is metame, even a minuscule lentil-sized piece of a sheretz is metame, as opposed to a behema, which doesn't give off tumah, unless it has a kazayis. So in a way, you can say he's disadvantaged. And therefore, he has this leniency as well. Aval sheretz to metame b'kadosha, but a sheretz, which even a teeny, small, minuscule, lentil-sized portion of the sheretz gives off tumah. So perhaps because of its more intense tumah, eimo l'tame mechaim, perhaps just a chunk of meat would give off tumah as an eiver menachai. So therefore, we learn otherwise. On the other hand, v'yashmina on the sheretz, had we only discussed this concept by the sheretz, but the basar on its own is not metame mechaim, mishum d'loim metame b'masa, because it also has a disadvantage vis-a-vis a behema. A behema is metame by way of touching, by way of carrying it, but a sheretz doesn't have tumas masa. And perhaps, likewise, loy metame mechaim, the basar is not metame. Unless it's a full aver. Aval behema de metame b'masa, as opposed to behema, which gives off tuma by way of just carrying it, which is an indirect association. Ema to tame mechaim, perhaps because of that severity. Even a chunk of meat off the live animal is metame tzricha, that's why. We discuss it in both cases to tell you that whether it's a behema or an aver or a sheretz, only an aver menachai, which qualifies as such, based on those three definitions, will give off tumah, but otherwise not. Okay, so in conclusion, we related to the Mishnah, which featured an animal with a dangling, either a limb or a piece of flesh. So in the first case of the Mishnah, the animal was still alive. In the second case, which was the beginning of our daf today, nishchata, the animal had shchita done to it, in which case the aver now is considered covered by the shchita. It's no longer aver menachai. So it's like regular food, and it needs hechsher to become tameh. And the question was whether the shchita experience per se provided hechsher for the limb or not. We had multiple ways of explaining that. Machlekes, whether or not it happens. That took us into a whole discussion regarding a split entity, part of which is susceptible to tumah, part is not. Could one part become a conduit to serve as a conductor to bring tumah into the susceptible part? A series of questions, teiku. Then we had the last story of the Mishnah where the animal actually died, in which case this aver is halachically considered to have detached, separated before death, therefore it's not considered Eva Menan Avela, only Eva Menachai. What is the difference between the two? Both have Tumah. The answer is, by Menachai, it needs to be an Eva. But if it's an Avela, then even Basar is Tameh as well. Okay, all the best to you and Atzlacha Rav.